Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, Red Friday, October 6, 2017.
Are you ready for some football?
Yes. We are ready for some football, Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs, the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans on Sunday night. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that between now and 10 o'clock. Tim Grunhard will be in studio in just about 20 minutes or so. He'll be here on the show around 6:30 up until the time we talk to Gary Lezak. Two triumphant returns, so Gary's not going to be on there. All right.
You're welcome.
Jeff Penner will
there
be,
you go.
Will be on the show at 7:50.
That's correct.
Bless you. And so, well, Gary's back in town, so I thought maybe he'd be back on the show. But it'll be Jeff Penner. So Jeff Penner at 7:50 on the show to give us the forecast, and then we'll have our Border Patrol Blitz getting you ready for college football this weekend. And then Nate and I went out to Arrowhead Stadium and had a nice long sit-down conversation with Chiefs rookie kicker and one of the heroes from Monday Night Football, Harrison Butker. He was very impressive after missing his first kick. He was able to bounce back and nail two big kicks in the final 5 minutes of the game on Monday night, including the game winner with 4 seconds left. And so we will talk to Harrison Butker, who at one time was a seventh-round pick of the Carolina Panthers, made it through camp, went to the practice squad, and then Cairo Santos gets hurt, and the Chiefs give him a call and bring him over to Kansas City to be their kicker. And so Harrison Butker, buttkicker.com, at buttkicker87 on Twitter, and we found out that he does have a website. Tune in and hear what his actual website is that was purchased by his agent for him. Tune in at 8:30 to learn more. And then David Beatty, the head football coach at Kansas, will be on the show at 9:05 after a bye week. They have a big game against Texas Tech in Lawrence at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So we'll talk to Coach Beatty at 9:05. And then Buster Olney will join us at 9:25 to give us his thoughts on the unbelievable performance from Jose Altuve, who is probably my favorite non-Royal. If he's not number one, he's right up there. And Justin Verlander is too. So I was rooting heavily for the Houston Astros, and they beat the hell out of the Boston Red Sox and Chris Sale. Boy, that looked like a mismatch. Chris Sale was awful. Justin Verlander was not as dominant as he's been since he was acquired by the Houston Astros, but based on what we've seen so far in the postseason, that was still a solid performance. Up until that point, it was the best performance until Trevor Bauer looked incredible last night. But Justin Verlander throws 6 innings and only gives up 2 runs, while Jose Altuve hit 3 home runs. 3 freaking home runs for the guy that I think should be the American League MVP. That's who I would vote for if I had a vote. And so Jose Altuve, incredible performance. The Astros win 8-2. Justin Verlander gets the win. How good do the Astros look for making that trade now? For deciding to finally make that deal, as they were called out by their own players and pressure was put on them, and Justin Verlander was the acquisition they made, and that looks like, well, it already has paid off tremendously, and he wins game one of the ALDS. And then I mentioned Trevor Bauer, who looked spectacular. He had a no-hitter going for a while, and he ends up going 6 2/3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. And the New York Yankees are in some deep doo-doo now. They are down 1-0, and they have yet to see Corey Kluber. And so that was a tremendous performance by Trevor Bauer, who was one of the better pitchers in the American League after I waived him from my AL Roto team.
Ouch.
And so that certainly, well, I also won by a record-setting margin of over 21 points, so there is no ouch. There is only a check to be written that I'm patiently waiting for. Not a check. I mean, the commissioner is going to check on me, and so he can congratulate me because we certainly do not play for money. Mm-hmm. We play for pride, and we play for...
Units.
Nope. Bragging rights and handshakes. So when I say commissioner and check, I mean the commissioner is going to come and check on me and see how I'm doing after the big win. Officially on the record.
So. How much money is he not going to give you?
Nope. Nope, my wife might be listening.
So. Oh.
Nothing. I get nothing. All right?
Understood.
Less than zero is what I get. Robert Downey Jr., less than zero. Sometimes I got a big mouth. Anyway, did I mention Tim Grunhard's on the show? It's great. So I was I took great joy in watching the Yankees and the Red Sox lose last night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Patriots won. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers could not beat the Patriots and hand them their third loss. The Patriots win over the Bucs 19-14. Oh, boy. Well, you know, that's fine. The Chiefs can just continue to take care of business, but I certainly would like to see the Patriots continue to lose. But Jameis Winston was not sharp last night. He missed, at least early on, he missed a bunch of throws. He ends up 26-46 for 334 yards, a touchdown, and no picks, but I did not think he was sharp. I thought he was too amped up before the game, and he missed some open receivers. Tom Brady goes 30-40 for 303, one touchdown, and finally his first pick of the year. But I really, again, I mean, this is going to be a broken record. I had fun listening to Tony Romo, and I think my favorite story from last night is when Romo starts talking about how excited Jameis Winston was to play against Tom Brady. And they were talking about how much Jameis Winston has always loved football. And they showed a picture of him in grade school on his football team. And he used to write essays about how he was going to be a great football player. And this is always what he wanted to do. And he was a Tom Brady fan. I mean, even if you're not a Tom Brady fan, anyone Jameis Winston's age that has grown up watching football and loving football, that's been the barometer. That's what you want to be. He's been the best of this era and maybe any era. But so they start to tell the story that Jameis Winston was so excited to play against Tom Brady, but more excited to meet him. And he'd never met him. And so he was fired up before the game. He was going to find Tom Brady out there in the warm-ups and meet him, get a picture taken, shake his hand, and do all these things. And so... Jim Nance says, and as far as we can tell, the meeting that Jameis Winston was looking forward to did not happen. And so then Jim Nance goes to Tony Romo, and you pretty much said that wasn't going to happen. And Tony Romo goes, no way that's going to happen. Brady's not going out there to meet that kid before the game. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't either. Because first of all, Brady's not going out there before the game, running around with no shoulder pads on, shaking hands and taking pictures. That's not Tom Brady. He's there to try to win. And number two, he's not going to go up. And it was funny, because, and I'm not going to either. I wouldn't have done it. Before the game, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to the opposing quarterback. I don't want to go over there and say, hey, good luck. I hope you throw three interceptions in the first quarter. Because that's what I feel like. I want you to throw three interceptions in the first quarter and play terrible. So I'm not gonna, you know, fake it. And so he goes, you know, after the game, I'm sure he can find Tom and he can talk to him then. Especially if the Patriots win, Tom will be available to say hi. and he goes, and Jim Nance, oh, and so there's, is that genuine? If you talk to someone after the game, is that fake? He goes, oh no, especially if you win, it's fun. Hey, come on, let's go have some beers. Let's do it. And this Romo time, like, yeah. But it's just, and again, yeah. it's the unfiltered, he's not giving you the coach speak or the player speak. Mm-hmm. He's telling you the truth. No, I don't want to go out there and meet some young quarterback that's trying to beat me. on Thursday Night Football. I don't want to go talk to him and shake his hand and take a picture and be a fake. Find me after the game. And Nance goes, would that be genuine if you talked to him after the game? And he goes, yes, sure, if I won. We go have some beers, talk about it, let's go. I'm ready then. And so that made me laugh, and it's true. And I just like the idea of Jameis Winston out there excitedly running around looking for Tom Brady. And they kind of intimated that maybe he sent the word, like, hey, can he, Brady come out here? Would like to meet him or whatever. And Brady's like, no. No. Pass. I thought, when I heard that, I thought, Jake, you would like that. You'd get a kick out of that. Were you watching when he told that story? I like the fact that Brady, like, the room was, are you crazy? Like, you almost like, almost asked, the reaction would, if somebody asked, well, hey, was Tom Brady going to come out and run naked across the 50-yard line? No, are you crazy? No.
It's weird to think that, like, now Brady's old school and that's, you know, he's not going to go, you know, commiserate with the other team before the game. I mean, that's insane. You know, right. You do see the young players now, you know, go, you know, they're warming up their headphones and giving each other high fives.
Well, Romo said the same thing. I wouldn't go out there. I'm not going out there. And plus, you know, once you get to be a certain, you're a veteran. You've been in the league for 10 years or so.
And by the way, Tom Brady is the greatest ever. That guy's not going to go give you a high five and say nice to meet you before I kick your ass.
I just like that Winston wanted to. He was running around looking for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know,
he's doing
youth,
right? Yeah, well,
I don't know, man. That seems a little bit like, what are your chances of beating somebody if you're still a fan of them, if you're still in awe of them? You know what I mean? Like, it almost seems like as a young guy, you ought to be like, you know what, screw that guy. I'm going to beat him, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like,
I don't know. The
Like soccer players always exchange jerseys, and it seems like they're, I don't know, not in awe, but they know who they're playing, and they have some type of.
Yeah, but that's after the game,
right,
you know?
Right.
And now some football players start to do that, where after the game will go up and say, hey, you know, swap jerseys, but like to go get a picture before the game and all that seems
it came off,
you know,
it came off as a young kid that had never met Tom Brady, that grew up watching, I mean, because we have to think about how young Winston is and how long Brady's been playing,
it's true. It's almost the equivalent to like a college intern compared to us, like age wise you know. He's not much older than a college intern, and Brady's like our age.
And they dropped that stat last night. They kind of took me. I was taken aback. They said that Winston is the youngest NFL player to have 50 touchdown passes in his career already. How old do you think Winston is?
I would guess he's 24.
He's 23.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's he's 23.
I mean, it does show that he's got an appreciation for the sport and for the legends that are around him. You know, I mean, I respect that.
So then, what was Brady's first championship? Was after the 2001 season? So you're talking 16 years ago, and so he was 7.
That's messed up.
So then you start thinking about he was 7 when Brady won his first title, 7 or 8, and so his formative years of becoming a football player throughout grade school, he watched Brady. And so I can kind of get it. I mean, it'd be like if, you know, one of my daughters now grew up and competed against someone that they're watching now that's at the peak of their career. But it was funny just to hear Roman say, he's not coming out to take a picture with him. I wouldn't either. I love Romo. I love Romo. We'll go have beers afterwards if I win. I'm ready. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
That Romo's ready to go have beers if they win the game, if the Cowboys would have won. Like, all right, let's go.
Well, part of the story with Bird and Magic, that Magic thought that after filming the commercial that, oh, I'm going to go up and say hi to Larry before the game.
So the next time they played, because they filmed that commercial in the offseason for Converse at Larry Bird's house and farm in Indiana. And so the next time that they saw each other on the court the next season, like Magic tried to come up to him and give him a hug, whatever. Bird's like, get the hell away from me. What the hell's wrong with you? I walked off, and Magic goes, I thought we were friends. I thought we'd fix things. And Larry Bird was like offended that he even tried to talk to him before the game.
Right.
Hey, you know what? Whatever it takes to get you ready to play the game.
And you've heard some guys like I think Jordan was known for kind of buttering up the guy that he was playing against. He'd like, you know, compliment the guy and make him, because then it's like,
that's what Jake does.
Then he because his attitude was that then he actually got the guy didn't like come after him as hard. You know, like it kind of softened up his opponent a little bit instead of the guy, you know, being angry and wanting to foul him and stuff like that. So everybody's got a different approach. And
I just like to imagine Jameis Winston like hands down, he's like kicking rocks, walking back to the tunnel. He didn't want to talk to me. I bet he did afterwards. I didn't see afterwards if they finally caught up with each other.
He's like tearing his Tom Brady poster down when he gets home.
I hate you,
Tom Brady.
I hate you. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yowza. Another impressive win for North Carolina State and Dave Doran. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that game.
They beat number 17 Louisville and one of the best players in the nation, 39-25. That opening season loss to South Carolina, that's a head-scratcher because South Carolina's not very good, but they lost 35-28.
First game of the years are weird, you know.
Since then, they have looked terrific, and they are in the top 25 and rising after wins at number 12, Florida State. Then they beat Syracuse, and then they win at home against Louisville. So, and they still have games at Notre Dame coming up in a couple of weeks, and then they play Clemson at home. And so
they had Clemson beat last year, man. I mean, I thought that game last year against Clemson was going to be like the big marquee win for Dave Doran and his, you know, in his building of that program at North Carolina State.
They and for people that don't know,
in overtime.
Tell everyone his background.
So I mean, look, he went to Bishop Miege High School. He's from here.
Played football at Drake.
Yeah, he played football at Drake. He was on the coaching staff at KU from 2002 to 2004. From 2002 to 2005. He was a recruiting coordinator. He was a guy that was given a lot of credit for, you know, getting players like Aqib Talib and Desmond Briscoe.
He's a stag.
To KU. Then he went to Wisconsin and was the defensive coordinator there. They were really good. And then he took over the head coaching job at Northern Illinois.
So I don't know, like, you guys argue, like, yesterday about St. Thomas Aquinas and Bishop Ward. And so then I don't know how this works. So when I said he's a stag, yep, because he went to Bishop Miege, Jake gives the old thumbs down.
Yeah.
Because apparently Aquinas doesn't like anybody. So he gives him a thumbs down. Right when Grunny is walking in, and then quickly, you put the, I didn't do, yeah, you know.
Act like he was brushing his hair.
I'm not scared of Grunny.
There was something on the ground.
No.
It should be.
And so do you, so when I say he's a stag, Bishop Meade, do you give a thumbs down? Are you are you as aggressive towards Bishop Meade as you are against St. Thomas Aquinas?
So listen, I just like to give Jake a hard time.
So it's Jake.
But I mean, I think all the Catholic schools have a bit of a rivalry, but to be honest with you, Bishop Ward's kind of fallen so far down the pecking order that it's not. When I was in school, Bishop Ward versus Miege was the first football game of the year every year. It was a big rivalry, and we didn't like Miege. But now Miege, you know, we're too small potatoes for Miege to even play us, and wouldn't be worth their time. Honestly, it wouldn't.
Don't try to butter Tim Gunhardt up
in football.
He
I don't know
in.
About baseball. I will say this: I had the best baseball game of my career against Bishop Miege, and my dad didn't come watch.
Right.
I still remember that. But
right.
It used to be a big rivalry. I don't think it is anymore. So I don't have any. And my cousin, you know, John Bucati, the painter. That's done our painting.
That's your cousin.
He went to Miege with Dave Doran.
Oh, you don't like? Do you not like your cousin?
Love my cousin. Okay. He's awesome. Look, the Bucati Award at Rockhurst goes to the best football player of the year every year there. So there's Bucati's kind of sprinkled around some of the Catholic schools here There have been Bucaties that have gone to Aquinas as well, but
rockers.
Are there any Bucaties at St. Pius? We come up.
I don't think so. I don't think we're allowed up north.
Right.
I don't think
that's right.
You know,
Jake's a man apart.
But my cousins John and Tom are pretty close with Dave Dorn, and they actually John's older brother just texted me and said he's probably going to be on the sideline. If they can make it to the ACC championship game, he'll be on the sideline there cheering for Dorn.
Well,
so.
I have the least problem with Miege. Out of all the other Catholic schools,
well, they wanted you.
Well, my father went there, my aunt went there, my brother went there.
But we can all agree that he's kicking ass right now at North Carolina State.
Yeah.
It looks like they're on the way to a hell of a season.
And it's
representing KC, regardless of the high school that he goes to.
You guys,
good for him and good for the city.
You guys got your Bill Self moment at Missouri.
What?
K-State fan, you know, the fact that you could have had Bill Self and you hired Quinn Snyder instead. K-State had, has this situation right now with Bruce Weber where they ran off, Frank Martin and
B-Web.
Could have had, Brad Underwood. Now we'll see what happens with all this investigation stuff. Maybe they'll be happy with
it
down the road. But that's the one for me is the Dave Dorn, who wanted the job really bad.
You think Dorn's the Self? I think the Harbaugh's the Self for KU football.
And I'm not saying
you have a debate over which one's the bigger disappointment.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not saying Dave Dorn's Bill Self. And actually, Missouri hired a really qualified guy who we know now is a tremendous coach.
He had more success at Missouri than Charlie Weiss had in Kansas.
Yes. It's not fair to compare Quinn Snyder to Charlie Weiss.
Not what Charlie Weiss did at Kansas because he went there and took a poop for 2 years.
He almost.
Hello, this is Quinn Snyder, and you're listening to the best sports talk in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I mean, Dave Beatty's still trying to clean up the mess. So,
the Sunflower Showdown.
It's just tough. I mean, I have to get we have to get over it, but there was a lot of us.
We don't have to get over nothing. You have to get over it. I'm over it.
No, you just brought it up again.
No, because a Kansas City guy. I'm not thinking about. Thinking about a Kansas City guy coaching on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Just beat Louisville.
Is that
a story?
No, it is.
I'm supposed to come in here and tiptoe around you.
Yeah, my sensitive
feelings.
When
I got a Bishop Miege football coach in here, and I'm quite sure he likes the sound of a Bishop Miege guy doing some great things.
Here's why.
He likes the way it sounds.
I mean, it was the reason that.
Do you, Granny? Do you like the way that sounds? Answer me.
Go ahead.
He was the obvious hire. I'm sorry, he was. He knew. Yep. He knew what it took. He was there as a key, crucial part of how Mark Mangino built that thing up at the time.
But then we wouldn't have this drop, would we, for the show?
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
Good point. That's a fair point. I really got no rebuttal for that.
Think about the show before.
I mean, what are you going to do? In the words of Charlie Weiss,
personal feelings.
What are you going to do?
You know, really,
what are you going to do?
We got like three drops. That one.
We are talking about K-State.
See? What would you do without those jobs? Nothing.
Sit here and, I don't know, sit here and be bored with all these wins that KU is getting? I don't know.
Tim Grenhardt's going to be in studio to talk about your Kansas City Chiefs as they take on the Houston Texans. And we will see if Grunny has gotten over his dislike for J.J. Watt. Grunny likes it when I say J.J. Not.
Oh.
We'll see if Grunny calls him J.J. Watt. Or J.J. Not after this on WHB.
I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Welcome back to the show. And before we move on to the Chiefs, here is maybe a nice lesson in patience for college football. Dave Doran at North Carolina State, his records is the 4 years leading up to this year, after he was terrific at Northern Illinois, going 11-3 and then 12-1 and 15-1 in the conference in 2 years. He's gone 3-9, 8-5, 7-6, 7-6. But the conference record at North Carolina State, 0-8, and then 3-5, 3-5, 3-5.
Yep.
And so in his fifth year, he is yet to finish at least at 500 in the conference. But now it looks like here's the breakthrough.
He has three wins already, doesn't he?
5-1, 3-0 in the conference.
Yeah. So, you know, a little inside skinny on Dave, and Dave really, really wanted the KU job here. Did not
really?
Yes, he did.
I haven't heard that.
Didn't get the job, which, kind of broke his heart. He went to Northern Illinois, obviously. from Wisconsin, earned his spot with Northern Illinois when they went to the Orange Bowl. We'll
take a picture of Nate while you're talking.
Continued
about
on to North Carolina, but and I was I've been down there with the Pedrottis and some other people and Coach Holmes, and been down at his house a couple times. He's a very, very, very good guy. Loyal to Kansas City.
He's repping KC, baby.
He's very loyal to Kansas City. He went to St. Agnes grade school. Grew up right over in Roland Park, or pretty close to Roland Park. But other than that, let me give you the inside skinny on what Dave Doran does and how he recruits. He is an unbelievable recruiter. He's a great guy. He's not pretentious. He's not a guy that tries to make himself boisterous and if you could see it on the sideline. I mean, he just kind of goes about his business with a great personality. His mom still lives here in town. See her all the time over at Mass, over at St. Anne's. But Dave, when he recruited Colin, Colin was going to be a preferred walk-on with this, I don't know, whatever that deal is. And, after 2 years, you get a scholarship, whatever it is. And that's a whole different story. But he did not have to go above and beyond like he did to recruit my son, and just going through and meeting the players. They love Dave Doran. Those players absolutely love Dave Doran. Now, the athletic director who came in and spoke, I had a couple minutes with her after just visiting with her a little bit, and she was very, very honest and very, very forthright that, that Dave really and truly, it needs to win this year, and she loved him, and, she was the ex women's basketball coach there who was there forever and was like, she's a legend. I think they named the practice facility after her. She's been there so long. And she's in Dave's corner. But here's the thing. She's quitting or has quit this year, or she's going to quit the year coming up here. So he was losing his ally. So he had to win these football games. And, after a couple of wins, after a couple of losses last year, going on Twitter and seeing a lot of the things that they were saying against Dave Doran, they all wanted him fired. So you're exactly right when you talk about patience. And that's why I think you got to have patience with David Beatty. I like David Beatty. I think David Beatty, I think he tries so hard that sometimes it comes across a little bit, over the top. But the guy has a great personality. He's a great football coach. And, you got to give this guy some time. And that's what KU, for some reason or another, does. I mean, they don't give these guys some time to develop their coaches. And they need to develop this guy because this guy's a really good one.
It's actually it's a good case, too, because I remember the year before the Orange Bowl for KU, there were people starting to talk about whether or not Mark Mangino had, the team didn't make a bowl the year before. They qualified for a bowl, but they didn't make one. And I remember having an argument with your former co-host here one
Jason
morning.
Jason Whitlock?
Hey. No.
Randy Miller?
Guy that's on a different station now.
Doug Medlock?
Saying that it's run its course. Mangino's he's capped out here.
Evans?
He's reached the max of what he can do. And I said, man, there's progress here. You got to look at what's being built and what the talent is. It doesn't always go in a linear. We heard that from Gary Pinkel, that it doesn't always go linear. It doesn't go like, oh, they win two games and they win four, then they win six. Sometimes you might take a step back with wins in 1 year, and then you jump back forward.
That with, GP.
And so, I'm with you on David Beatty. I think he's doing a lot of things the way that Dave Doran is doing. It just frustrates me that the organization had a chance to hire Dave Doran twice.
Are you telling me I should have patience with Barry Odom?
And they did. And both Ready? Times. Both times. I mean, what's that?
Should I have patience with Barry Odom?
It's been really a year and a half he's been there?
Well,
to have a little bit of patience with him. I think you can only judge a coach after about 3 years. He's got to bring in his own guys, his own recruits, get his system going. And let me tell you something. Well, the main reason why Charlie Weiss got fired really and particularly wasn't the play on the field per se. It was that he just could not get along with the alumni or anybody around that
the
whole
play on the field. Had a lot,
what are you
going to
do?
Well.
No, I mean,
well, really,
not,
what are you
guys,
gonna
I'm
do?
Telling you, I, if you want the real answer, I'm going to give you the real answer. Shan had to put out so many fires here and there with all kinds of alumni and donors and everything else. He finally said, "I can't do it
but
anymore."
But if you're winning, you can get away with some of that stuff.
Yeah, but
this guy's just focused on football. Look at him.
The first year he won one. The next year he won what? Two or three, and then I don't know whatever it was after they I left after that. But
fart.
But the reality of the situation is that he had a plan. He's a smart guy, but he just could not get along with the alumni and the big boosters and everything else around there, and that was what did him in the end.
But a lot of people say it's the offensive line coach's fault.
It's easy to blame him.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to feel this way about Dave Dorn? If he marches into South Bend on October 28th and beats Notre Dame,
like your buddy, you know, winning or beating you in a game. I mean, you know, you hate it, but you you appreciate what he's done. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, what am I going to do? Not like him now? I don't like you now. You beat Notre Dame.
I think right after the game, you're going to say.
I mean, Jake likes me all the time. We always kick St. Thomas Aquinas' ass.
No. Wow. You walked in here.
I mean, it's not even a rivalry anymore.
And I said Dave Dorn is a stag.
I hate you, Grunny.
Right? How do you feel when I say that? And then he gives the old the thumbs down to Bishop Miege.
I was talking to kids at St. James yesterday, and they're fired up for this St. James versus Aquinas game.
You think St. James is going to beat Aquinas?
Nope.
I'm asking.
They just beat Blue Valley.
No, I think Aquinas.
They're about to get their asses handed to them.
Do you think that you are over your dislike for J.J. Watt?
A little bit. A little bit, and I'll tell you why. I mean, what he did for Houston and raising all that money and doing the things that he did, was special.
Right,
no, you asked the question. And the reason why I didn't like him is because off the football stuff. I mean, at the game, everything was J.J. Watt. I mean, you know, him doing dances, during third down.
Show me a dance.
He's like, here I go. It was a circus.
You get that on camera.
It was a complete circus is what it was. And it's like, oh my, I mean, stop. I mean, there's more than one guy on this team. But what he did to raise all that money for the people of Houston, you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
But have you heard the NFL mic'd up? Is he actually?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah,
well, if that's true, I love it.
On third down, is
I mean, it's like J.J. Watt, like when the offense is on the field, he'd be going shh. Mm-hmm. It'd be him doing it. You know, instead of a little cartoon character, it was J.J. Watt. Or he'd like to get people pumped up. He's doing, hey, you know, let's get him going. Hey, you know, it's just like, oh,
clearly
my gosh, stop.
He's over the J.J. Watt stuff.
Stop.
We will take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Tim Grunhardt. We'll see if the Chiefs have inquired about his services, considering the injuries to the interior offensive line. I feel like you've got a couple of quarters left in you. You can go out there and help, maybe.
I got a couple. I got a series left. Wow, that's about it.
Maybe that could help.
Give me $100,000. I'll do a series out there.
Well,
it's about how much those guys are getting paid now.
The offer's on the table. Tim Grenhardt's in studio. We're talking football on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
I could block J.J. Watt.
I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Tim Grenhardt in studio. All right, Sunday Night Football, the 4-0 Chiefs and the 2-2 Houston Texans.
Yes.
Timmy, the Texans are coming off of a very, very impressive performance against the Tennessee Titans, 57-14 against Tennessee, and a big coming-out party for quarterback Deshaun Watson. He went 25 of 34 for 283 yards and four touchdowns with one pick, and also ran for a touchdown, so five total touchdowns, joins Hall of Famer Fran Tarkenton as the only rookie quarterback with 250 passing yards, at least four touchdowns and a rushing touchdown in a single game in NFL history. We knew this kid was going to be good, and there was a time when I was campaigning for the Chiefs to draft him, and then I was campaigning for the Chiefs to draft Patrick Mahomes, and I was just hoping the Chiefs would draft one of them. When they moved up, it was like, everything stood still. Which quarterback are they going to take? And they took Patrick Mahomes. Now watching Deshaun Watson, I'd like to get your opinion of the Texans rookie quarterback. We won't know about Pat Mahomes until he actually starts to play, so doesn't do any good to compare him. But what do you think of what you've seen from Deshaun Watson so far?
I think he's a very athletic quarterback. I think he's got a nice arm. A lot of stuff that we talked about during the draft period when the Chiefs were considering taking him, I liked him also. I like Mahomes now. I'm not saying that I'd rather have Watson over Mahomes, but I do like Watson. I think his athleticism, I think that's kind of the way the league is going. with quarterbacks, with the speed of linebackers, the speed of defensive linemen, you have to have a guy who has escapability and also has a strong arm and wants to be a passer. That's the thing about this kid. He can run, but he wants to be a passer. And I think that that's kind of where the quarterback position is going to go in the NFL. You have to have guys that have the athleticism to run. You have to have the guys that have the athleticism to escape. But you don't want another running back there. This isn't a wildcat formation when you put him back there where he's going to run the ball, after maybe looking at his first read. He does a nice job of scanning the field. He does a nice job of going through his checkdowns. But if they're not there, he can run the ball and make plays. Now, in saying that, let's talk about how you defend a guy like this, because this is obviously isn't new for the Chiefs, because there are quarterbacks like this in the NFL now. You have to be fundamentally and technique sound when you play against a guy like this. What does that mean? Well, the defensive line, they have to stay in their lanes. They've got to be disciplined. You can't pop inside if you're an outside linebacker. If you're Justin Houston and you think you could set the guy up outside and then rip inside and get to the quarterback, you really can't do that, because he can make you miss and get outside, and now that lane and now that part of the defense is broken down. So you have to be fundamentally sound. The other thing you have to do is you can't play man defense against a quarterback like this. And we've talked about this with Alex Smith before. Because if you turn your back to this guy and you're running after a receiver, and you may be covering the receiver, then that's all great and fine and dandy. But if you're leaving your linebackers in a spy position, or you're leaving your linebackers underneath, and your athletic safeties and corners are running after wide receivers and turning their back, he's going to kill you in the running game. And then the third thing that they do with him is they have a lot of plus one runs. Well, what does that mean? Well, a plus one run, usually when the Chiefs have a plus one run, they have to bring in a fullback. Well, that packs the defense in a little bit. Now you're going to bring seven guys, sometimes eight guys in the box. In order to get to a plus one run for the Chiefs as a fullback, with them, you don't need a fullback. Now you have your running back as that plus one, because you have an extra guy, because your quarterback is the runner. Usually in the Chiefs offense, once he hands the ball off, he kind of floats off to the side, and now he's a spectator. Well, in this offense, you have plus one run. So they run some counter, and they run some sweep action stuff with him, and that causes issues. So, A, you have to be fundamentally sound, technique sound. B, you can't play man, so you're going to have to play a lot of zone, which I think the times Chiefs do a good job of that, but I think they play man pretty well. And then C, you got a plus one run, so now they have one more guy at the point of attack, and you have to be able to tackle and make plays and beat off blocks.
Lots of stuff to talk about with this matchup. And again, the Houston Texans, after exploding for 57 points, they scored more points in Week 4 than they did in the first three games of the season combined. They had 53 total points in the first three games, 57 on Sunday against Tennessee. And that's the most points that an NFL team has scored since Seattle beat Arizona 58-0 in 2012, Week 14. We will take a break. More on the Chiefs and the Texans on Sunday Night Football after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We've got Tim Grenhart in studio. We're going to break down the Chiefs and the Texans as Sunday Night Football will be the must-watch this weekend. We've got plenty to talk about.
There's another thing you got to watch.
Oh, that's right, the Cubbies.
Cubs are on tonight.
The Cubbies are back in action. And
I'd appreciate if my friends in Kansas City would help root for the Cubs again.
Well, if you're out and about and you're not able to watch at home, you can listen. We will have all of the Major League Baseball playoffs either on Sports Radio 810 or ESPN Kansas City, which is 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. Last night, we had playoff baseball on 99.3 FM. So if it's not on 810, it's on 99.3 or 1510. We've got it all for you right here at Union Broadcasting and on Sports Radio 810 WHB.